I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Time to hesitate is through, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's with us.
All right.
And Mr. Mojo Rising himself is Pete Donaldson.
Oh, we're joined now by Marcus Speller. He's a presenter.
That's not you, is
That's
it?
That's not me. You're not me doing an impression of an Australian lady.
I yes. asked before we came on air what we were waiting for. And now I know.
Yeah.
Hark at that, eh?
Add that face on. That face of concentration that we've sometimes seen him have.
It's either that or I've got a full tummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it's the
both.
Former.
Both.
Rather than the latter.
Mm.
Mario Fellaini and Robert Huth. Speaking of full tummies, they had a lot on their plate, didn't they, at Old Trafford? They had a little clash with each other. Huth pulled Fellaini's hair, so the Belgian gave him an elbow and a slap.
Yeah.
I think it was a slap. Van Gaal wasn't pleased with Huth, who had a very strange encounter with the reporter after when he was giving the interview. He said that the hair pull was only acceptable in sex masochism.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed the way he said masochism. Yeah, he said it really interesting way.
Sex masochism. Yeah. Brilliant.
A Dutch manager talking about. Yes. Yeah. And then he looked at the reporter and said, well, what would your reaction be if I pull your hair? And then he pulled his hair. And he said, see, it's only natural to do that. So it's only natural to give someone an elbow in
elbow
the face.
Someone in
but
the face.
The reporter didn't elbow him, so he's on his own point. Yeah.
It would have been spectacular had he done it. Okay, well, that's fair, isn't it?
He just broke his nose, but I'll see what you mean.
it's what we see in the Red Devil Light District.
Yeah. Nice.
In my hometown of... I don't know where it's from.
Anyway, not done your research, have you?
Enough of Dutch hair pulls.
is that a sex move?
Well, I'll show you after. If you could get Fellaini and Huth to engage in a competition of sorts, what would you conjure up,
well,
Jim?
I really like this question because they're titans, both of them. They're both big, big guys, but very sort of different.
Big guys, yeah?
Big Dutch guys.
Yeah.
Get into swing.
Basically...
Neither of them are Dutch, by the way.
Belgium is practically Dutch.
And German.
Yeah. If you Belgian and German combined is Dutch, right?
Yeah, that works,
Sort of flanking.
Get in the swing, alstublieft.
Yeah. So
it was a Dutch flank. Go on, Jim.
I'm not sure this even counts as an answer, but basically...
Doesn't always stop Pete.
That's right, we'll just talk over you anyway.
I would like to see them finish this, basically.
finish
what they've started. Have a competition.
Do orgasm.
You've got to pull the other's hair out. Yeah. The only defence you can have is an elbow to the face.
Yeah.
First bald man loses.
To be fair...
You'd be there for days,
actually,
wouldn't you?
Actually, no, I was about to say that's unfair on
Fellaini.
Like
a tree surgeon.
Because he's got a lot more to grab a hold of. But if he's got
less to pull out.
Well, that's right, yeah, you've thrown me there.
It's like, you know, bear versus shark in a sort of tank of water that both could function in, isn't it? It's, you know,
I'd
back Robert Huth there. Robert Huth is tougher, I think.
Yeah, I'd
I
agree.
Think so. But it would be interesting. I don't think Fellaini would go down.
If you, if you're doing top Trumps type cards, then Huth's coming out on top. I think.
Because
Fellaini isn't actually hard. He just runs around throwing his elbows everywhere.
But Huth's got a lot less hair to pull out, as Jim says.
Yeah, true. In your specific parameters, Jim, I think it's a much more close competition.
Yeah, he's cleverer than that, is old Jim.
Yeah.
He's not going to throw his answer away.
Yeah.
And he's currently in pole position for the points.
You'd hope wouldn't you?
I mean, he's speaking into a microphone shroud that looks very much like Fellaini's hair.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, very true. Yeah,
a little bit.
Oh, fuck.
Luke.
Hello. I'd like to see them engage. It's fairly similar to Jim's answer, I suppose.
Get engaged.
I'd like to see them get engaged.
Yeah. And they have a fight to see who's the man of the relationship. Is that what you're going to say?
No. I'd like to see them.
Who wears the trousers?
A bit like Godzilla versus Mothra. Just like smashing into each other, destroying cities.
Yeah.
Like fighting.
And the Power Rangers turn up.
And then when everyone goes over and goes, this is crazy, you're destroying the whole city, stop please. And they stop. Mm. They have to do like a series of World's Strongest Man type events.
Mm.
Like lifting those big rocks onto barrels and chucking fridges over bales of hay and lifting up cars and wheeling them along and then pulling trucks.
Carry three teammates on each other's back.
Let me finish.
Okay.
With a waistband. And pulling a truck along. And what did you say?
Carrying teammates on their backs to see.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And then the winner comes. And again, I think Robert Huth would win.
Mm.
Yeah.
Atlas Stones.
That's what it's called, isn't it? The Atlas Stones is very, very good.
There was something amazing about the way his head rattled after that elbow.
It looked like
it just absorbed it all.
Yeah. I think Fellaini might, in fact, get a retrospective ban for that.
Yeah. I mean, he elbowed a man in the face. Certainly.
And it wasn't spotted by the referee. That's classic action.
He didn't properly catch him.
No.
But the intent was there, though.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
If Dele Alli did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Pete.
Horseshoe throwing.
Yeah.
I'd just like to see them doing horseshoe pitching together in the pub.
Who'd win?
In the Lake District.
Who do you think would win?
Fellaini would because he's got longer arms.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. So we've had Fellaini there.
But Huth looks like he likes a pint of mild, so I don't know. Maybe.
Huth drinks like beer by the stein, yeah. For sure.
Why in the Lake District? Just a nice setting.
It's just a nice picturesque kind of. That's why it's a pub game, isn't it?
That's where Horseshoe comes from, isn't it? Comes from.
I think
Okay. Okay. So I mean, that was a far less erotic answer than I was expecting.
Well, it's as erotic as you want to be.
Well.
Yeah.
Mm.
So wait,
you're not seeing the sexy horse, it came off.
Well,
I'll give you someone to hang those horseshoes.
Very good.
Make things as erotic because you want, yeah. Marcus. Just say the word. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Just add the word Dutch to the front of it.
Why not try dressing up, Marcus?
Give him a Dutch horseshoe.
There we are. I really thought yogurt was going to be involved, but not. Yeah. Okay. Fellaini's obviously a great header of the ball.
Fellaiti.
And Huth was once described as having a concrete head.
Robert Boobs.
That's, come on.
What?
You know what?
What?
Robert Huth has got a what, Marcus?
Boobert Huth.
He was described as got a concrete head or something by the physio. So I'd make them put pots on their heads and then do running headbutts. Just see last man standing.
What, the guy, referee by the Ghanaian pot man?
Yeah. No, he died, did he not?
Did he? Oh, it's probably another one.
Oh, no, that's right. He's like the Phantom.
Yeah.
Someone takes over.
There was a rumour that the Ghanaian pot man passed away, but then I'm pretty sure...
I think there was another
pot man who came out and was at a game fairly recently.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Colombian Birdman.
Right, okay.
He's like the Phantom.
You know, I mean, like, his act was very risky. He used to hang off stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Exactly. Yeah. That's why if the original guy gets a bit old, you need to replace it.
I
think he might have just been a very practically minded health and safety inspector. I'll test it. Don't worry about it, mate. I'm going to test it.
I won't put you in any situation I wouldn't be comfortable in myself.
Yeah. And there might well be blood on your hands and indeed my face.
Jim's got the points.
Well done, Jim.
Well done, Marouane and Robert.
Yeah.
Who gets the points out of those two? It's yet to be decided.
But I get one each.
Well, we haven't finished the competition.
If Spurs lose, they get this point.
Let's go to the Premier League quickly. Manchester United 1, Leicester City 1. Now, at the time of recording, the title race is still wide open. Now, Spurs could have been beaten.
It's not wide open. There's a little gap in the door. A little gap in the door with a Spurs crest on it. That's
you wouldn't even bother putting
gets.
A draft excluder under that no. gap.
Spurs could lose 7-0 to Chelsea.
That's not going to happen.
All right, 6. But I thought, no matter what happens, I think that's a decent point for Leicester, bearing in mind it's still Manchester United. The Manchester United still got a lot to play for. They went a goal down. They got back into the game. Obviously, they finished with 10 men. That was just a few minutes towards the end. But I thought Leicester, without their star striker as well, not a bad point. And that puts the pressure on Spurs.
Yeah, well, I mean, because obviously Spurs, a draw's not good enough, is it? Which is a problem. But I think in general, you're right. It's, you know, no one
has a
right
draw
to go
might be good enough, aren't they? Seven?
No,
it's not.
They
okay,
have
right.
to win.
Okay, right.
But yeah, like you can't go to Old Trafford and just expect to win, even if you are in the title hunt. It's just not how it works, is it?
And United have been good at home this season.
They have been good at home.
Overall.
And also, they conceded a goal that was maybe down to a little bit of nerves. You would normally expect Kasper Schmeichel to save that,
definitely.
But then they got themselves back into it.
Big Wes.
I actually thought the game was to start with, Leicester looked like the occasion really got to them. And United started swarming them. As soon as United scored that first goal, I actually tweeted about it at the time saying this could be a bit of a long afternoon for Leicester this. And then Leicester got a goal from a set piece, which was a little bit of a soft one. And that gave them a lot of confidence. But I thought United were the better team.
I thought a point was a decent result for Leicester. Because if they'd have lost, and obviously it's difficult to chat about this while Spurs and Chelsea haven't played, because what we're saying might not matter because it could all be over.
Yeah.
But in Leicester's terms, you know, if they'd have lost the game, you know, if indeed Spurs win, it would then put quite a bit of pressure on that Everton game.
Yeah.
More so, they just need 2 points now from the final two games.
Yeah.
And so I thought a good point, and also as well, even if Chelsea beat Spurs, great that they went to Old Trafford and didn't lose. They got a point. It's another decent result, really. A point away at Old Trafford is never usually a bad result.
No, the fact that they went behind Leicester and they came back to get something out of the game is typical of their season. I think they've only lost 3 games that they've gone behind in out of 11 this season. That might not even be including the United game, so it might be 12, but it's certainly at least 11.
How appropriate that Morgan was being held for his goal as well.
It's been a season for that, especially with where Leicester have concerned. Teams they've played against and also themselves, they've been very, very guilty of playing right on the line when it comes to sort of behaviour in the penalty area. We've seen them punished actually, haven't we? So and obviously we just touched on it there with Fellaini and Huth. But it was a pretty interesting game in terms of the fact that it was clearly a very, very big occasion for both teams. You got the impression United obviously are still going for top four. City had a disastrous result, so that's helped them. But you get the impression United didn't really want to not let Leicester win the title at Old Trafford.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Despite what we just said about Schmeichel on the first goal, which he certainly could have done better on, it was a commanding performance from him otherwise, wasn't it? He got his head right very, very quickly. And that chance where he had to race out of his box and just boot the ball away from Jesse Lingard was...
There was a few hairy moments for Leicester, and there was a few...
Yeah, for For Huth in particular.
Mm. Indeed, yes. But it was a good game. And Rooney in a deeper midfield.
He did okay.
He looked good, didn't he? Yeah.
He did, yeah. Could
he
that
was
be
quite lucky as well, though. He did effectively, as well as he played, he also ran around kicking people.
He probably should have walked. If drink water, yeah. I mean, because that's, I mean, I think the occasion particularly got to drink water, which then helped Rooney. And I think the reason for that with drink water is because, of course, he didn't get a chance at United. He felt very passionately about it. And he certainly let the occasion get to him. I'm going to stop saying the word occasion in a minute. But that helped Rooney because it freed Rooney up a little bit. And Rooney operated pretty well in the middle of the park there. And he's shown himself to be decent in that role for the last couple of weeks, which I'm sort of loath to say because I don't want him to start for England.
But we know he's going to, don't we?
Yeah, it's annoying.
But do you think Rooney's thought to himself, my goodness, you know, you look at Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy, Daniel Sturridge has thought, right, come on, boss.
Yeah, I think he has, and I think that's fair enough.
Yeah?
He wants to be a part of it, and at least he's got the humility to realise that he needs to work hard to get in the
team. He's gone, my body shape is definitely built for the centre of the midfield.
In the 1970s.
For non-sprinting roles.
Yeah. He's surely not asking Lou van Gaal if he can play in midfield to get a chance.
Well, Van Gaal said, well, not for that specific reason, but Van Gaal did say when he joined Manchester United something about Rooney playing a deeper midfield position, but perhaps going forward.
That way. Other managers have suggested that as well, haven't they?
Maybe they can push Fellaini up a bit more because he seemed to do his best work, certainly for his previous club.
Absolutely. It's just nuisance value. The drink water thing, the second yellow for drink water, I didn't even think that was a foul.
It's a funny one. I don't know if it's a
if that was a foul,
yellow.
If that was a foul, Simpson should have been off for the.
You reckon? I didn't think that was a foul either.
No, I didn't think that's for me. I didn't think it was either.
Right. Yeah.
I can see why he's given the Drinkwater one. I mean, at high speed, Depay he goes down and Drinkwater did put his hand on him.
Yeah.
And if he has, the referee has given that as a foul, which of course he did, that is a second yellow card. Should have been probably a penalty.
Well, it's been a very
right
clambery.
Line, it?
Yeah, it was. I think it probably was. It started outside, but I was like,
I'm pretty sure the laws say if the foul continues to go inside the box, you can give a penalty, I think.
But I think it was on the line where the contact happened. Anyway,
I didn't see it close enough.
It was very, very tight, but, you know, any part of the line is the box.
It was the last few matches have been very clambery in the Premier League. Yeah. There's been a lot of climbing happening.
I mean, Crouch was guilty as well against Sunderland, which we'll come on to, I'm sure. But the thing about Drinkwater as well, I wanted to mention, and Leicester fans won't thank me for saying this, is that the reason that Vardy sat out that game is because he was abusive to the official when he was sent off. And you see what Drinkwater said?
He went right
clearly.
He
said, right in his face, he went, "That is an effing joke, you see."
No way.
Right in his face.
You see what you've done.
Yeah.
Wow.
He basically screams the four letter C word right in his face.
Is that what Ranieri's told them to do if they got sent
off?
Maybe.
Well, I'm just saying, the problem is officials then make a rule for their own back because they break the protocol with Vardy and say, right, well, that's not acceptable from Vardy, so easily get them a ban. Mm. To which then we said in this show, well, Rooney should be banned every single game. Mm. And then Drinkwater's now done this. So the pressure is now going to be on the officials to give a ban out to
But he's not going to get an extra game.
They've already said he's not going to get an extra game, which is weird. But you know what? It's not entirely inconceivable that Robert Huth won't get some action against him because of the Fellaini thing as well. And they're going to have to be careful that they can even field a team in the last couple of games. They might get a couple of automatic 3-0 losses.
Well, in a way, this is what we've sort of been calling out on this show, where the officials are starting to take this abuse seriously. And it'll be interesting to see if it starts to drop off in terms of behaviour from the players, because I know they're going to be punished for it. I maintain that if a couple of weeks of this, where they just go for everything, and whether you agree it should happen retrospectively or not, or whether you think it should happen by the officials on the field at the time, I maintain that if you do this for a couple of weeks, it's going to stop it.
But it was always the thing when, you know, we were kids playing at school level or any kind of level that we managed to achieve,
that people said that sort of thing to you.
Yeah, well, I was never a referee. Well, I was
the teachers used to say it.
I was playing the game. Right. You may sympathise rather than empathise.
Highest level.
But no, at whatever level you played, the referee would always say, "I won't tolerate swearing" and all that, and everyone would F and blind.
Yeah.
And some people may even swear at the referee, and seldom would they do anything about it. You know, they need to follow through with these convictions.
That's not my experience. My experience of playing at like grassroots level was that you were allowed.
I played in Scotland, remember?
You're allowed to swear in frustration at a sort of like muted level.
But you can't use it as a noun.
No,
you can't use the vagina word as a noun.
But if you swore actually in the direction of the referee, you'd be sent off. Invariably, you'd be sent off, in my experience.
Mm. Well, who was it? Was it Rodney Marsh or some player who said, "If I call you a so and so, will you send me off?" And he goes, "Yes." And he says, "But if I think it, you Ken, you send me off. And he goes, no. He goes, all right, I think you're at so-and-so.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And he gets
it off. No, I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was Rodney Marsh or not, but it sounds like somebody
But going
like
back
that.
To the game, I thought a player that really stood out as being poor was Marcus Rocco. I thought he had a terrible game. It's a funny player, he is. Definitely, I think so. He likes getting forward, doesn't he? But he doesn't really like defending that much. And it's more fuel to my theory that he just because you cover someone in tattoos doesn't make them tough.
He's one of those players, and Man City fans have probably been saying this about Otamendi as well, that he had one. Well, Rocco, I think, was, if I remember correctly, was quite good at the World Cup.
He was, yeah.
And, you know, had a decent season or two. And because defenders, there's not too many good defenders there at the moment, the prices have been pushed up. And also, when teams know that a club has a lot of money, they can hold them to ransom a bit. And so he comes in for a big fee. But actually, is he really good enough to start games for Manchester United?
I would suggest he isn't, though.
This season he probably isn't.
Now, Otamendi's done a little bit. Yeah, Otamendi's done a little bit better of late. But it was that one season at Valencia when that really put the price up for him.
Do you think that was a penalty as well from Rocco? When he sort of bundled over.
It's really interesting because when I watched that,
I thought it was a penalty.
I've just remembered the incident. Yes, I did.
Yeah. When I watched that, I watched the first half in a pub with some friends of mine, and it was quite loud, so you couldn't hear any commentary. And we were laughing at how much it looked like a dive.
Right.
It looked like Riyad Mahrez had just sort of like jumped because you don't necessarily
on
fall
the replay,
over in that.
For me, it was a pen all day long.
On the replay, you see him put his leg out, both to block him, but put his leg out and trip him as well.
I thought it was a penalty.
And I think the reason the referee didn't give it, obviously he's got his own reasons, but the reason he didn't give it, I thought it was because Mahrez wasn't moving fast enough. Because Mahrez couldn't get off the mark and start moving as quickly as we know he can. I think if that happens in faster speed, that's a penalty all day long. I think the referee had a bit of a blind spot because he wasn't moving that fast.
But again, it shows you what a difficult job it is. To spot that at speed when at first glance it can seem so ridiculously one way, and then you see it again, it's like, oh, actually, no, you know what, maybe there is something there.
I thought it was a pen,
but then I'm not paid to make those decisions,
no,
am I?
So. No. Thankfully not. No,
that's
no.
Right, I thought it was a penalty as well.
But Vardy, a penalty.
Fine.
A Dutch penalty.
excuse me, Vardy obviously didn't play, but he's been voted the writer's player of the year. Shoulders shrugging in the studio. But, you know, nice for him and Mahrez to get one each.
Yes.
Yep. That's tend to be, you know, how it's gone, isn't it?
But is that not better, Jim? The individual awards, as we know, are a bit funny. So share them out.
Yeah. I like the way that we very well that we discussed this before the show, before we came on air, saying none of us care about the Football Writers Award. But you still thought, no, I'm stubbornly including this. I'll take 10 seconds of dead air before I take this out.
I know Pete wanted to talk about it.
I did. I love what shape is the award?
I don't know.
I literally haven't even.
Is it a rhombus?
I don't know. Is it like a lozenge? The big lozenge. The big lozenge is my favourite of all the awards.
Awards are quite weird like that, aren't they? In that they don't necessarily have to relate to the thing they're being awarded for. So you could probably make it a big lozenge.
Well, we were admiring one in that Newcastle hotel, weren't we? Yeah. It was just a very generic. It was the same one I think we got given once for something. It was like a glass shard, and it gets given for a lot of. Individual awards like radio awards and stuff like that. But then we were sort of thinking, me and Jim, what about the award makers awards?
Yeah, there's got to be one.
It would have to be like an amazing award.
It would have to be an excellent award.
I think what we were saying was that whoever won it would surely have to make next year's one.
Well,
like Eurovision.
Yeah.
You've got a host on
That would be very good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If anyone knows, get in touch.
Anyway, well done to Jamie Vardy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, we're going to talk more Premier League action after this.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Shall we move on to the relegation battle?
Yes.
Newcastle United 1. Alan Pardew, nothing.
Hate to tell us, so I told you so, Peter. The Newcastle, it's on. It is on.
It's very much out of their hands, Luke.
You must have loved that goal.
It was a peach, wasn't
absolute
it?
Absolutely beautiful.
I think I made the point on the WhatsApp group. I didn't find a stat. It was clearly just on Twitter. I went, oh, guys, I'll just copy and paste this. But it's the first time they've scored from a direct free kick since January 2014.
That's crazy,
that's a
damning
isn't it?
Well, bearing in mind, they used to have Laurent Robert. Shearer was good for a howitzer every now and again. Yeah. Emre. Solano was decent at them. Yeah. We've had some free kick takers over the years, and now we've got nobody.
Big Philippe Albert, did he ever take him?
Nah.
Surely.
He was Mr. Outside of the Left Boot.
Give him a chance.
Allardyce was trying to get Benitez with the old mind games again, suggesting the Palace players had been on the pop after reaching the cup final.
Pardew wasn't happy with that, was he?
Pardew took umbrage with that.
Benitez was on the pop. I'm on the pop. who's got pop?
Top cheers.
Top of the pops. Pardew did say he wondered what era Allardyce was in and that his comments were prehistoric. That's quite strong from Pardew, because I'd imagine those two would maybe get on.
And he's also specifying the era. So it doesn't even work.
Ancient Allardyce. Just like ancient Greece.
Big Andros has scored a few good goals this season.
Yeah, he's been excellent for you.
He's not been excellent, but he has scored two very important goals the last two matches he's scored in. But the first, I think three goals, he couldn't celebrate because they were like at the ends of like 4-0 batterings.
Okay.
So it's nice to see him being able to celebrate a goal. He's not been great, but he's getting a lot of joy in the final third, and he's a good crosser over the ball.
Does that not speak to the fact that he sort of keeps going and keeps trying to be positive, and regardless of whether his performances have maybe been made to look a bit better because of the goals, that fight is something Newcastle certainly need, and it is starting to make a difference now.
If Cissé isn't up top, he looks a lot better, because at least with someone like Mitrovic, you've got someone who can actually get their head on the ball, because Cissé's he's not even a footballer anymore.
He just looks so slow, doesn't he, Cissé?
He's always had that problem where if he thinks too long, he's going to miss and stuff like that. We've compared it to Andy Cole before, but like he was ruined by Alan Pardew playing him up top. He never knew what the offside rule was anyway, and he can't even play off the shoulder of defenders anymore. He's a dreadful footballer.
What I would say is, you mentioned Andy Cole, have a bit of respect. He scored a lot of goals for Newcastle.
He was very good, and I was very sad when I cried, I think, a little bit. Thinking about it, if you work out how old I am, I shouldn't have been crying.
Yeah, you spent a lot of your childhood crying.
if big Mitro moves on, will you have a little tear?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I'll have nothing to talk about on the ramp. I'll have to research some stuff.
Well, let's talk about this. Yoann Cabaye, former Newcastle United player.
Getting booed all over the gaff.
With his chops. I don't think he was being universally booed, but...
He shouldn't be, because didn't he go from Newcastle to Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more than fair enough.
For a club that's literally set up to be a springboard club.
He didn't share himself in glory, did he, when he left?
You can say that about Sissoko, and he's a one to win.
I will if I want.
But it was incredible that he was the one that missed the penalty in front of that end as well.
It wasn't a great penalty.
Such a Pards move to I didn't take it at all.
I bet he wasn't very good at pens.
Been like a penalty taker for the past four
seasons. Yeah, but that's not our narrative.
No, I choose to prove, no,
as Jim
says,
and it is factually incorrect, but we're going to go with it. Kabay has never even thought about taking a penalty.
I can't believe someone else was going to take that penalty and Pardew came on the pitch and said, no, Johan Kabay's taking it.
Yes.
Up all your lot, Jim.
I'd take it myself if I could.
Up yours, the rusty one.
Are you a hero like me?
What Pardew should have done was... registered himself as a player, put himself on the bench that game, like that England player for the hockey side in the Olympics.
Oh, Sean Curley, wasn't it?
He used to put him on for penalty corners and then take him straight back off. Yeah. Pard slots it home.
That'd be fantastic.
You're a hero like me.
You'd have to respect that.
I would have heard if he put that jacket on that the man Ryan, what his name is, from Drive has on.
Oh, Ryan Gosling.
And they play the song.
Real you.
With the gloves.
Yeah.
But you have
and
to respect that.
To the back.
Do that for Marcus. You have to respect that, Pete. A completely fictional situation would never happen for 100 different reasons.
A weird peccadillo fantasy that Marcus has made up in his head.
A man.
You dirty little sloth.
That'll do.
You dirty little sloth.
That'll do.
You dirty little knacker.
Slow furry. Your fur matted with moss and soil.
You dirty little sloth. Your weird little grin. Your muggy little penalty.
Why are you so happy looking?
Sleepy little eyes.
Sleeping on your tree.
Oh, you dirty boy.
Dirty.
Finished?
No. With your long, dirty fingers, dirty sloth.
Right, that's enough, Peter.
Your dirty fingernails, your dirty little melt.
I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Newcastle, what a little melt.
That's what Kabay is, Marcus.
Oh, you sloth.
That's what Kabay is, a little melt. That's what Darlow said when he saved the pen. Oh, you melt.
Oh, you melt. I bet all the boys call him Darlow-o.
Saving your muggy little penalty.
Yeah.
It was a good penalty save, but it wasn't. It was a good height, and it wasn't a great penalty.
It was a good penalty save, but Kabaye, let's just say, enabled him to make it, providing some assistance in that area. But I wanted to make a point about Andros Townsend, which is he had a bit of a difficult time at Spurs. He clearly wasn't good enough for them. Fell out with Pochettino, or whatever went on there. But I actually think if he could play consistently and he could apply himself in terms of a lower half of the Premier League type player, I reckon he's easily good enough.
I agree with that. He's got a lot of mobility.
He's got a lot of pace.
You look at that team. You sort of go, there's no reason why they should be where they are. And that's been
I've said that to you. And you keep telling me no.
Yeah, but they're not putting in performances, are they? So you can only look at what you're given, innit?
It's a bit rich.
Oh, you little milk.
That is so rich coming from you, Donaldson.
Yeah. Pards has been criticised by one of his own players.
This is brilliant.
Lee Chong-yong said Pardew's made some absurd decisions. He said Pardew is very smart in training, but he's too hot-tempered in matches. He told me to warm up, then we used all three substitutes, so I sat on the bench again. 5 minutes later, he told me to warm up again, and I told him there were no substitutes left. He just said, "Oh, sorry."
What he should have said was, "I just don't want your muscles to get cold."
Yeah,
you're a professional athlete. Stay warm.
Yeah, but that's the kind of It's like I'll give you the last five. You know, you've come down today.
Yeah,
your dad's watching.
No, the old we'll give you the last five because I know for a fact that if I give you 5 minutes, you have to pay me at least some subs.
Yeah,
and we need to bump the kitty up a bit.
Yeah.
He also said Pardew also made me train as a starter for the whole week and decided to leave me out on a match day as an injured player. That was absurd, and he was apparently fine.
I mean, he's clearly annoyed. Angling for a move away, isn't he? Before the season's even over.
Well, Jimmy said he had no reason to stay at Palace next season.
We've chosen as a group to side with him.
Sido.
Sido. The other day, apparently, it wasn't Sido because I don't think he played. Well, the other week, whenever it was. It was Sessegnon. Sess.
All right.
Sess.
He loves a striker.
Sess.
Newcastle away to Aston Villa, a home
Sloth.
To Spurs. Sunderland, Chelsea at home, Everton at home, Watford away, and then Norwich, Man United at home, Watford away, Everton. Watford at home, Everton away. Everton and Watford, jingle jangle in the keys.
I think Norwich are gone. I do.
Yeah, The thing for me, and it's that extra game. But if you look at Sunderland, Chelsea at home, I mean, they could get a point there. But it's Everton at home and Watford away. It's funny how the two of them have got those sides. Everton at home Everton won't have much to play for apart from a bit of pride, and Watford as well. I think if Newcastle had an extra game somewhere, I'm just...
But then you sort of go,
Villa's
3 points, and Spurs, they might have nothing to play for.
True, and if Spurs have nothing to play for, then there's a chance. But even if Spurs have lost the league by then, it could be a case of making sure they finish second.
And also, last league game at... White Hart Lane, they're gonna want to play for the fans.
No, it's
St James's Park. Okay. But at the risk of making a complete idiot of myself here, does Sunderland play Chelsea at home next?
Yeah.
Well, if Sunderland don't win that game, if Sunderland get beaten by Chelsea, they've got fewer points than Newcastle, haven't they?
Yeah.
Newcastle just need to win their two games. They're as good as gold. They're fine.
No, because they've got two games in hand, haven't they?
They've just got the one.
Help.
But Sunderland's goal difference is better than the other two.
Mm. But it doesn't matter because Newcastle have got one more point.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. That's why it goes to that Spurs game. If Newcastle win, they're then 4 points above Sunderland. But I think Sunderland would get 4 points in their last three games at least.
And Newcastle don't necessarily have
that. And then on goal difference, I think, you know.
Oh, Sunderland knocking Newcastle down on a goal difference. That'd be a stinker, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All the other way around, mate. It'd be brilliant, surely.
Bearing in mind how many points they didn't get. Remember that season with their Peter Reid when they went down with like 13 or something?
Yeah.
Sunderland.
That's the joint worst ever, isn't it? It's them, Derby, and someone else.
Mm. Probably Villa this season, good lord.
No, Villa just about escaped that.
Wow.
They had a shocker, didn't they?
Sunderland did get that point away to Stoke.
Ooh.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? That could be vital. It's because if they were 2 points below Newcastle, then, you know, obviously four points I was talking about, if Newcastle beat Aston Villa, they then need something else. But that goal difference, that extra point
We've got to the stage of the season where it's like using your Nectar card at Christmas. Every point counts.
Yes.
It counts.
Yeah,
Mitrovic.
Can you get that extra box of baubles for your Christmas tree? Yes, you can, because you've got Nectar points.
Mitrovic, goal avalanche against Villa.
Avalanche.
Ten goals.
I have to ask you how many goals is an avalanche.
If Mitro scored 10 goals against Aston Villa, Pete, you'd have to respect that.
I would have to respect that. I'm already a noted respecter.
Imagine if he scored a perfect hat-trick of hat-tricks. Three with his left, three with his right, three with his bonds.
All nicely like that.
Yeah.
It's more Charles Apardew slotting a penalty away.
I can imagine Mitrovic just marauding through the Villa defence. Jolyon Lescott just stood there, not even attempting a challenge, going, I can't believe this.
Villa did okay against scoring. Watford.
Villa have started to put it in.
Actually, hang on a minute. Villa lost 3-2 to Watford, and I was like, they did okay.
Yeah, they were 2-1 up. They were 2-1 up
as well. Yeah, check yourselves, fellas.
Birmingham fan Troy Deeney.
How much did he love it?
That was amazing.
But there was a point where I think it was when Kieran Clarke scored, where he just powers his header in, really good cross, powers his header in, starts pumping his fist. It's like, it's all very well now, mate.
Well, the pressure's off, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's always pleasing to score a goal. Deeney, though, when the second one went in the last minute to equalise, he loved it because those Villa fans hate him.
Fans are going, we're already down. It's like, stop punching us, we're already dead.
Yeah.
No, I won't stop punching you.
As if it couldn't get any worse, Deeney with two goals in the last few minutes.
Didn't they celebrate a corner like it was a goal? To be fair to them, he's brilliant. Yeah,
who Villa?
Wow. Did they?
I think they did, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to talk about Sunderland, though, weren't you?
I was. We were just briefly going to talk about them. Barini on Allardyce, that was an interesting one. There was a few funny comments. He said, he shouts at Barini on Allardyce, of course. He shouts a lot, sometimes for no reason, and he doesn't always speak proper English, but he's a manager you listen to.
Being on the pop.
Yeah. He's quite a hard manager to listen to, if that's the case.
Yeah, that's a brave move, isn't it?
That's coming from a man who English is his second language.
But is that not like just putting your head in a lion's mouth?
Yeah.
You're just absolutely
he's one of their better footballers, to be fair, and they've got a crappy team.
If Barini puts his head in a lion's mouth, he'll undoubtedly come out with a broken ankle.
But in Barini's mouth is a dagger, so...
That's true, actually.
Cut the lion's mouth.
Give it that one. Yeah, it's true.
There you are, you see. Southampton, they had a great result against Manchester City.
Brilliant season, aren't they, Luke?
They are. They're really good.
Going under the radar.
I was actually going to say, they did...
The best team on the South Coast?
No, it's one of these ones where they did play really well, and I saw the game. And I was thinking about on the way here how to praise them, but also trying to get across the fact that I thought Man City were truly laughably bad without sounding bitter about Southampton. Mm. So I'll separate it out.
Yeah.
Southampton were excellent, and they have been excellent for most of the season.
When Tadic plays like that.
He's fantastic. He was great. But Man City were laughably poor.
Yeah, I mean, after the game, Pellegrini, who I think looks like a sort of corrupt politician from a 70s cop show. Anyone agree?
Yeah.
He said after the game about the priorities and how they're prioritising the Champions League. It's like, what? So Otamendi and Mangala are just taking the afternoon off during the game?
Yeah.
I mean, he is prioritising the Champions League. Yeah. I love this. I absolutely love it. Because Pellegrini's thinking to himself, I want to win the Champions League for me, right? Yeah. Obviously, it'd be great for the club and all that, and if they won the Champions League, they would qualify for the competition. But he's thinking, oh, so what if we finished third and there you go.
I'm not going to be around.
Exactly, yeah. But imagine if they got to the final, they got knocked out in the semis, and they finished fifth. Pep Guardiola would be fuming. He'd be absolutely fuming, wouldn't he?
You know that, like, he got a bee in his bonnet, and I agree with him on this point of principle, that he got a bee in his bonnet on behalf of the club, the fact that they were playing on Sunday afternoon when they got a Champions League semi-final.
Yeah,
and that's ridiculous.
I do agree with that.
There's no reason they couldn't play on the Saturday. And I understand that, but at the same time, take that. I agree with you. That's annoying. That's a bone of contention. You're annoyed about that. Fine. Park that there. You've still got to play the game. Regardless of how you feel.
Ian actually played the game.
In a way, you've got a day's extra rest to prepare for it.
Yeah, indeed. And the thing was that they a lot of top clubs, it seems to me that the players, when they come in, second string type players, at a club that big, with those amount of resources, second string players should be absolutely gunning to start the game against Real Madrid. Mm. Right? They should be so, because even if Pellegrini's got an idea in his mind of the team he wants to play on Wednesday, well, someone could get injured tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be there ready to play, and you've got to impress the manager. They don't want to do that. I thought Fernandinho did okay. I thought Hart did well. But Ian, that shows you rightly said Marcus did okay.
Yeah.
Some of those players were embarrassing. Yeah, he was. And he's always done well when he's been asked to play, to be fair to him. Obviously a good young prospect. Like, Kolarov was embarrassing. There was one, but I can't remember which goal it was, where Kolarov had about a 10-yard start on Mane and literally watched him go past him. It's not like he didn't see him. He watched him go past him.
Like a man possessed.
That's what you'd expect, though, right? I mean, that's what
Mane was brilliant. Yeah, but Mane did. Was he one of the ones when he was touted for a move earlier in the season?
To United, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he slightly downed tools for a few weeks. Was that him? I know when Yama was.
I think Wanyama probably more so.
Okay, maybe that's harsh on Mane.
They've got an issue where they're going to have to keep on some players in the summer for sure. Yeah. But I mean, Southampton were at the races. They were really good. And I'll tell you a team who could have taken a leaf out of their book is Stoke. Because Southampton don't look like they're going to down tools at all. And they're still going for the Europa League and all that other stuff. I mean, Southampton probably really need United to win the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And that means it goes to seventh in the Europa League. So they could get in there that way. But City were absolutely terrible. It was one of the worst performances for a team this season. Given the resources they've got, given the players they've got at their disposal, I know they've got an eye on the Champions League. But
well, it'll be Europa at this flipping rate.
They can't drop out of that, can they?
How good would it be seeing...
in the final.
seeing Pep Guardiola managing the Europa League.
Man City have lost 10 league games this season.
That's crazy.
10. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, but Southampton are having a great season. And according to Koeman on Twitter, it was a perfect afternoon and a glorious victory with great goals and good teamwork. We continue our race for Europe.
You love him on Twitter.
Brilliant.
He's great. I really enjoyed
one of the best.
Mane balancing the ball on his head like a seal after the game, like a really flash skill. Seal that's just scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, and did a Brazilian defender from Brazil just go up and elbow him in the face like they used to do used to do the seal dribble.
Andre Mariner, another famous Andre in football. Mariner tried to play a trick on Mane afterwards.
Yeah, he did.
Tended to not give him the hat-trick ball.
So it was actually quite nicely done. I was quite pleased with that.
Nice, the executed practical joke, Pete. Yeah,
it was good. Yeah,
are you one of those people who likes practical jokes? Like, you're all wacky.
No, at the last moment I'd feel guilty and pull out. Yeah. And then Pip was. And then
we're talking about practical jokes.
Marcus Speller.
Arsenal. Jesus, Marcus.
You were on CNN.
Hang on.
You little melt.
You dirty melt. Oh,
you weird little tree sloth.
Your
thing.
Hide.
So dirty.
Drink it.
It's foul.
Drink me in. Arsenal looking good for a top four finish, Jim, due to the failings of others.
Before Jim just weighs in, can I just say I hate watching Arsenal.
I watched the Arsenal game on an iPhone balanced on a butter dish this weekend, and if anyone has had a more middle class Arsenal experience, I would like to hear about it, because I'm putting it out there saying that is right up there.
Butter's a melt.
Yeah. Watching Arsenal slip up on some slippy.
We won the game, but
Arsenal's so insipid though, aren't they? Why is Welbeck not playing at start in that game?
we've spoken about this last week, but genuinely, it's because he's coming back into fitness. But I would think he'll probably start from now on. I would hope so, because he's just, you know, he just looks more up for it. And Giroud is just, he is having a genuine existential crisis. It's the most French thing I've ever seen.
Olivier Giroud is an utter disgrace.
He said he was happy with the assist.
That's obviously an important thing.
He's going for Robert Perez's record of 84, I think, but he's not getting anywhere near. He's not scored since January the 1st or something.
Still our top scorer. he's got 20 goals this season, which seems absolutely mad.
He chucked himself on the floor trying to get a penalty in the most embarrassing way I've seen of the season against Norwich. And he also did this thing where he's like held his face for ages as well. And it's like, what are you doing? Get on with it.
Maybe you could kick
French
the ball.
French and existential. But
another point about, and a few Arsenal fans, because I went off on one about Arsenal, because I do find them genuinely really frustrating, but it's only because I know how good they could be.
Yeah, that's,
so
many good that's the point, that's the whole problem.
Yeah, and people say, oh, Welbeck's been injured. He came back from injury over 2 months ago. I think it's two and a half months ago.
No, I don't think it's that long.
He scored against Leicester in the league, which was it February?
Has he not picked up a knock since then, though?
I think he's an Arsenal player.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Well, I looked at his record, and he seems to have come off the bench fairly consistently since he came back. And
he started away to Everton.
I know injuries have got to be managed, but what did he have, a knee problem? I think it might have been a knee, but anyway, I know injuries have got to be managed, but if there is an element of this where if you put a player on the bench and Giroud gets injured after a minute, there's a chance he could have to play effectively an entire game anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean,
well, still, but you know, you deal with that when it comes, don't you? I think one of Wenger's problems is he has too much faith in a lot of players, and I think he's desperately trying to get Giroud to play his way back into form, and that obviously has affected us.
It would be hilarious if Arsenal finished above Spurs, though, when all said and done.
It can't happen, can it?
It can.
Can it?
Yeah,
wow.
Two points behind them, Spurs have a game.
I don't think it's likely.
Let's move on to the Championship.
Oh, can we just say something quickly about the Watford Aston Villa? I felt sorry for Sissoko being sent off. I thought it was harsh.
Yeah.
Because there was a defender covering, but then I saw that defender covering was at Alan Hutton. In which case, I revised my opinion that it was definitely a goal scoring opportunity. Now you can move on.
Thank
you
very much. Down.
That should be his nickname in a way, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of games, big games in the Championship today, but Middlesbrough dropped crucial points.
Did it again.
Away to Birmingham. And they had a goal which was ruled out harshly for offside.
Yeah, but absurdly harshly.
I know.
They were even approaching offside.
Oh, we look forward to the conclusion of that one.
They were quite wasteful in general, though, themselves. So yeah, they should have.
I mean, they will really look at that game if they don't get one of the automatic spots, of course. But it's still in their hands because they still play Brighton at home on the last day.
And I'm pretty sure Brighton have just lost to Derby.
No way.
Yeah. 1-0 at home, and they've had a player sent off as well.
Oh dear.
There you are, so maybe it's a priceless
Lewis
point.
Dunk. Mm.
Yeah.
So there you go, it's actually a point gained.
There you are. In League One, Wigan, they've secured promotion back to the Championship. Walsall looking pretty good, they beat Fleetwood 3-1. Burton could clinch promotion as well, though. Nice.
That would be fantastic for
them. It would be an absolutely incredible achievement if they could do that.
What a
one of the best clinches of the season.
Like Marcus clinching onto a branch, like a big hairy sloth.
Yeah. Like Robert Hughes clinching onto Fellaini's hair.
Like Luke's mate, Clinch Hill. in League Two, Bristol Rovers are in the playoffs with Pompey. There was a wonderful tiny little piece of an interview that Garth Crooks did with Al Caddy, I think his name is, the Jordanian owner of Bristol Rovers. It was amazing. Garth Crooks asked him, why did he choose to put his money into Bristol Rovers and not Bristol City? Now, obviously... Obviously, his answer could be quite a contentious one. Because if he said, well, we looked at Bristol City and it's a nice club. You can't say that, obviously. Nah. You've got to be all out with Bristol City. And he knows that. He's obviously a good PR man.
Oh, he's got to be all out for Rovers.
Exactly. Yeah. So Garth Crooks said, why did you not put your money in there to Bristol City and not Rovers? And he just went, Garth, we hate...
He's been briefed. He's read the briefing sheet before the interview.
But it was the way he looked at it. Garth, naughty.
Yeah, but the picture I've got on my mind, I've been preparing for this interview, is some press person has done the preparation sheet for him, and at the end it's just said, if you remember one thing, you hate Bristol City.
Yeah.
That's what you got to worry about.
Yeah, it was great.
By the way, for the record, before everyone tweets me, I've got no problem with either Bristol club.
No, I don't think we do. No. But it is a huge rivalry.
I love Bristol.
We love all the Bristol.
Bristol's
moles.
A fantastic city.
It is indeed. And then quickly, before we go abroad to the Scottish Premiership, Celtic, they beat Hearts. They beat Hearts at Hearts, which is an incredible result for Celtic, really, going there and winning. Always difficult.
Fortress.
Celtic have all but won the title. But that's just...
Hearts usually put the word castle in Tynecastle, don't they?
They certainly
it's
do.
It's a fortress.
Celtic have got a pre-new manager bounce.
But they've all but won it. It would take a miracle for them not to.
Oh, more on that and the highlights of the week, by the way, right, coming up.
But at least everybody, and let's all congratulate the Scottish Premiership, because they've made Celtic wait until May.
Yeah,
that's a victory for everybody else.
Yeah, it really is.
So
well done, guys.
So well done, all. Let's have a little bit of something before we go to the Spanish footballs. Play it now, Peter.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
It's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Remember the Football Ramble preview show.
This symbiotic algae on your
enough.
What?
All right. One more and you're out.
Yeah,
of your own student.
What are you going to do? Chase it? Yeah. You're too slow.
Watch out, Marcus. There's a harpy eagle coming down for you.
The Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365.
Oh, an awful lot.
We'll be out.
You'll
never get away from that. You'll like it. Not a sloth, but you'll like it. Bet365, of course, sponsor that one. It's out Friday. It's going to be fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, what's going to probably happen by that point is that Leicester are going to have won the league. So we're going to probably be talking about that.
Yeah.
Don't miss it.
No, never miss that one. In La Liga, they all won again.
Move on.
Atleti still the same points as Barcelona, which is quite something, because Barcelona have a better head-to-head. Yeah. It was quite funny. I think it was in one of the big publications. I think it may have been The Telegraph, but I can't remember which, possibly, where somebody was saying that Atleti, it would take a miracle for them to win the league if they won all the rest of their games, like 11-0 or something like that. Yeah. And someone pointed out, well, they'd be a bit gutted if they did all that and realised that Barcelona have got a better head-to-head, and that's what it goes on.
Yeah.
which was quite amusing. Nice. Now, this is an interesting one, because they're remaining two fixtures each. Barcelona are at home to their local rivals, Espanyol.
Yeah, they'll beat them.
Yeah, they will.
I'm not. But do you remember when Beckham and Real Madrid won the league, and it was a similar position, and Barcelona had it all, and I think they drew. I want to say away. No, one of them played Real Zaragoza away, but I think Real Madrid scored a last minute goal, and I think it might have been Espanyol at the Nou Camp scored a last minute goal, and it all suddenly switched round.
Right.
So do keep your eyes.
That was pre-Barcelona's ridiculous dominance, though.
Yeah, true. But they've
had a bubble. That was about 2004.
But they're out of the Champions League as well, you know. They're not that dominant at the moment, really.
I mean, I think of the run-ins that all three clubs have, Barcelona have the most winnable games.
They do, but they're playing two sides who are in relegation scraps.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine with that.
Sorry, are we talking about the same team? I feel like I've fallen asleep and woken up at a different point.
All right, well, do you want a Harry Redknapp update?
Yes,
right.
Obviously.
His Jordanian side,
he's been down the golf club.
They lost 5-1 in Australia, of course. But the locals obviously saw something in El Redders that many of us haven't. He's now set to join A-League side Central Coast Mariners as a football consultant.
Is he just going to Skype in from Sandbanks?
Rocking all over the world.
You know who's already there, don't you?
Who's
Peter
that?
Story's there. That's
it's
why. There.
Ah, yeah. I thought you were going to say Sven.
No, Peter Story.
They're all there.
I wish I had friends that could get me stuff.
Oh,
you guys are like weight around
my
neck.
You're on this podcast.
Are you blind? You were doing nothing until you came on here.
Yeah, a football consultant.
You were like Iggy Pop pre-David Bowie.
I'm like the tree that Marcus hangs off.
Yeah.
Well.
It's a small tree.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a shrub.
A very limp tree.
Yeah.
But Redknapp, we look forward to that. Well done, Australia.
Yeah.
You've got a new addition.
What could possibly go wrong?
What about a George Weah update?
Yeah, go on.
While we're doing updates. The 1995 World Player of the Year, currently a senator in his home country of Liberia. He lost the elections to Ms. Shirley in 2005 and failed to become vice president in 2011. But he's going again for the top job in the 2017 elections.
Love it. Love that.
If you are in Liberia and you have any more on this, get in touch.
Love a player doing that post retirement.
Mm.
It's better than just seeing another person on the old sofa, the punditry sofa.
Yeah, we like it when they enter the kind of admin-y world of politics. I mean, what could go wrong? Michel Platini, lol.
Beckenbauer.
Yeah, another one.
Are Romario and Bebeto both in Brazilian politics?
Romario's a senator.
Yeah, yeah, Romario's a bit of a big cheese.
Yeah, no, he's actually doing pretty well, isn't he?
He's apparently, according to him, he's served for 44 terms.
Excellent. Let's go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone. I've got two Australian-based highlights of the week. One is related to what we've just talked about, one isn't, so I'll go with the one that isn't first. Matt Tilby says his highlight of the week is the A-League Grand Final on Sunday between Adelaide United and Western Sydney. 50,000 fans have won in Australia's best grounds, the Adelaide Oval, which is primarily for cricket and AFL, showing that football in this country is very much here to stay.
That's very good. Well, no, that's why Redknapp's going there.
Well, speaking of that, Eamon Warner says, old Redders is getting the band back together at the Central Coast Mariners. Him and Peter Story at a small coastal club at the foot of the table. What could go wrong? Nice. Lewis Campbell, he says, finding out this week that Livingston's stadium is now known as the Tony Macaroni Arena.
Ooh.
And I checked this out. Because I thought he might just be pulling the fast one over here because we don't do any research. So I've called his bluff, and it's turned out it is true. Previously known as the Almond Vale Stadium, it is known this season as the Tony Macaroni Arena for sponsorship purposes.
That's class.
God knows what the sponsorship is.
Tony's Macaroni.
Yeah, some sort of macaroni... sort of, I don't know, establishment, I
Tony
guess.
Tony Macaroni. It literally says in the
name.
No,
but what I mean is that a restaurant? Is it a brand of pasta? I mean, what is it?
It's his Willy.
Get in touch.
Is Tony Cascarino involved?
Did you say it's his Willy?
Tony's Macaroni, check it out.
You dirty little son.
You little slob.
Robert Thomas, he says, slightly late, but Ramble favourite Graham Wesley getting the boot at Posh.
Yeah.
And then proceeding to slag off the chairman.
I let that go, to be honest. He didn't say anything too outrageous.
Wesley's only, was only there for 7 months.
He was.
Here's one for you, Marcus.
Thanks.
Alan Donald.
Big Al.
He says, Aberdeen lulling Celtic into a false sense of security, being 9 points clear with nine to play for, with the goal difference of 35. 35 quick goals and we're right back in this.
Oh, he's 5 foot, don't they? A good friend of the Ramble, Slim.
Is that right?
Posting on Facebook, I noticed. Slim,
you don't need to met him to enjoy it, do it.
I'm not doing the Slim impression.
Do it.
It's a friend of Peter's, and he walked up to me once and went, I saw you on the television.
It's a good impression.
I've never met him, so it's slightly lost on me.
Still enjoyed it, though. Jim, I saw your face. You were smiling. Martin Coleman, he says, one solitary Luton Town fan stayed to see Northampton Town lost the League Two trophy on Saturday. When he left, he was given a standing ovation by the Cobblers fans. I've seen a picture of this. He just sat there on his own enjoying it. Just enjoying it.
It's great.
Enjoying another team winning.
Little melt.
And Alex Pink has been back in touch.
Ah, the Pink.
Do you remember
the Pinker Man.
You should remember
Jesse Pinkerton.
Him. He's the guy who beat his brother's team in the semi-final of the Cup.
Yeah, I do remember
him. He's got news of the final, hasn't he? He's got news of the final. He says, hey guys, I thought you'd appreciate the update on how my Cup final went. I was cheered on by a bunch of family members and friends, including my brother Tom, who I beat in the semi. There's his mench in my final dig. On a lovely sunny day in Haverhill, my team, Stoke by Clare, fell to Northcroft 3-1.
Oh, no.
He said, I've included a picture of my runners-up medal. May it be hidden away for years to come. Sorry to hear that.
You shouldn't have sent us a picture then, should you?
Yeah, exactly. And this is a good one to finish with. Tom O'Dwyer says, Cheltenham Town winning the National League with the most wins, the least defeats, or the fewest defeats, that should be, Tom. the most goals scored, the fewest goals conceded, the most home wins, the most away wins, 101 points in total, but all anyone will remember us for is that useless free kick routine.
Yeah.
And James Tortoise has got in touch straight away and replied saying, seriously though, mate, it was proper shit. Again, nice little bookend.
That's at least they're remembered for something.
There we go. That's the end of the highlights of the week.
My highlight, not quite, because we've got a couple, haven't we? I've got one. Diego Maradona saying that Napoli, if they sell Gonzalo Higuain, should sign Harry Kane.
Yeah, he's got no insight, has he?
No. Well, and to back that up, he said, if it was up to me, I'd choose Tottenham's Kane. I don't know how much he costs, but I would sign him.
Yeah, okay.
That's tough, isn't it? That a job?
if Maradona signed him and then he was Maradona's
sign
player,
yourself.
If Maradona then went to Italy with Kane, would the authorities take Kane off Maradona because he owes so much?
It's so confusing with Maradona. It's so hard to understand what he means at any given time that the head honchos at Napoli are probably thinking, is he saying he wants to manage us?
Yeah.
Are we going to have to deal with this?
Or is he saying cocaine? That's per.
Jim?
My highlight of the week was Ashley Cole getting booked twice in 32 seconds.
He got his first
record. Time wasting with a throw-in, which is just not even subtle. And then immediately for an absolutely dreadful tackle. So well done, Ashley.
I think he's done okay in California so far, but yeah, that wasn't so good.
Apparently Frank Lampard's having a terrible time out there, isn't
it? Oh, they all are. Pirlo's been getting pelters as well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, eh?
speaking of excellent penalty takers like Steven Gerrard, you have to give Defoe props for this week, even though I'm a Newcastle fan, and that penalty...
Took it well.
He took it very
well,
and the pressure was on, what was it, 94th minute, something like that?
Yeah, it was very late on.
And talking about...
You weren't saying that in the WhatsApp group when it went in, by the way.
No. Was no doing that.
Lots of swear words.
And also my Sunday league team are in the cup final for...
Are you
the
playing
first time
for
ever.
The moment?
No, have not dirtied my back. Boots all season, they are second in the league and winning the cup final.
You've laid the foundation for what they can go on to achieve.
Should we have a website roundup, Jim?
Yeah, let's have a website roundup, Jim. So, let's see.
As tensions rise in the final few weeks of the season proper, why not distract yourself? Visit thefootballramble.com where you can see a brilliant dog on the pitch in the Copa Libertadores, concerns emerging over Harry Redknapp's car insurance premiums as news breaks of his consultancy role with Aussie outfit Central Coast Mariners, as we've already covered, a Champions League roundup that, like the coverage of the game itself, prefers to concern itself with Cristiano on the bench rather than what was happening on the pitch, and Tyrone Mings' shameless Twitter application for Kelly's job. You can follow Kelly at Kelly underscore Wells. She's not threatened.
Yeah, well done, Mingsy. Then we'll be back, of course, for the preview show on Friday morning. And Brighton have equalised.
Oh, have they? In the last minute?
In the 95th minute.
Hot dog.
Wow. How about that, eh?
Hot dog, jumping frog, Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Albert Luque.
Yeah.
Right, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. You lot play football. There's cup finals coming up. It's made. Let us know how you're getting on in your cup finals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And if there are any 11-a-side teams in the London area... needing a 35-year-old.
Are you looking at me?
No.
You're only 34. Oh, you're 35 the other day, weren't you? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
cheers,
Peter,
guys.
As well.
Happy
just
birthday,
Peter. A little footnote in the show. Show at thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter at footballramble and on Instagram as well. Some good stuff happening on Instagram. Some funnies.
If anyone wants me to do like a Football Manager star like rating of Pete's attributes out of 20, that's what I'm saying. I'm happy to do that.
He very much
strength
is.
Strength. Aerial ability.
Decisions too.
There we are.
That's just my clothes.
Yeah.
And say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Petey.
Die, little sloth.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.